Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, March 29th. Happy Saturday. I hope this Saturday finds you resting somewhere and having plenty of time to focus in on the Lord's Word. Even if you are busy, thank you for joining us and seeking to put God's Word in your heart. Let's focus in for a minute on the verse that we're meditating on this week from John chapter 4 and verse 14. There are three mentions of water in this verse. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Today in the Old Testament, we turn to Jeremiah chapter 38, verses 6 through 13. And as the student study Bible reminds us, being a prophet is a hard job. And so today we're going to see Jeremiah's story of being thrown in a cistern, verses 6 through 13 of chapter 38. So they took Jeremiah and put him into the cistern of Malchijah, the king's son, which was in the courtyard of the guard. They lowered Jeremiah by ropes into the cistern. It had no water in it, only mud, and Jeremiah sank down into the mud. But Ebed-Melech, a Cushite, an official in the royal palace, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the cistern. While the king was sitting in the Benjamin Gate, Ebed-Melech went out of the palace and said to him, "My lord the king, these men have acted wickedly in all they have done to Jeremiah the prophet. They have thrown him into a cistern, where he will starve to death when there is no longer any bread in the city." Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Cushite, "Take 30 men from here with you and lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the cistern before he dies." So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went to a room under the treasury in the palace. He took some old rags and worn-out clothes from there and let them down with ropes to Jeremiah in the cistern. Ebed-Melech the Cushite said to Jeremiah, "Put these old rags and worn-out clothes under your arms to pad the ropes." Jeremiah did so, and they pulled him up with the ropes and lifted him out of the cistern, and Jeremiah remained in the courtyard of the guard. On the front side, I probably should have said why the men threw Jeremiah in the cistern. It was because Jeremiah had been prophesying. Remember, prophecy is a hard work, and they bring a lot of bad messages of repentance. You've got to change, or else you're going to be conquered. Well, this was the message that Jeremiah was bringing to the people of Judah, that Babylon was going to come in and conquer them because they were not repentant. And the men who were left there did not want to hear it. And so they put Jeremiah down in a cistern. But as you notice in today's reading, Ebed-Melech, I probably said his name differently each time I read his name, an official in the royal palace, he did what was right. He went to the king and he said, "These men have acted wickedly. Jeremiah did nothing wrong. They've thrown him in a cistern to die." And so Ebed-Melech took some men and some old rags. You can envision it. And they lowered him down to Jeremiah and he put the rags under his arms and he was pulled out of the cistern. I was trying to think symbolically about this. Maybe on one hand, Jeremiah is a prefiguring of the Lord Jesus, that Jesus came with a message of the kingdom of God, and the people didn't believe him. And just like the prophets were treated poorly, so was the Son of Man treated poorly. But Jeremiah didn't die, but the Son of God went to the cross for us. The second thing that I thought about was, obedience to the Lord is not going to be popular, and sometimes it's going to land us in a ditch or a cistern, even worse. Likely, it won't be a physical cistern, but the forces of evil and those who are against God seek to devour us. And I just pray that the Lord would help us to stand strong, even in the midst of any suffering that the evil one seeks to bring into our lives. Moving over to Matthew's gospel, we're in chapter 26, and this is the story of Gethsemane from verses 36 to 56. Then Jesus went with his disciples to the place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed a third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priest and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you have come for, friend." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way?" In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with sword and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. And now from the Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. "Whoever remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy." Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. I just want to pray a little bit of this passage from Gethsemane with you today. Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus who took upon himself the cup of wrath so that we could have the cup of grace. Help us to pray boldly and also vulnerably like he did. Lord, if it's not possible for the cup that you have given us to be taken from us, help us to drink it so that your will be done. We are reminded, Lord, that Jesus has the power over heaven and hell, over life and death itself. And yet, because he wanted the scriptures to be fulfilled, he submitted himself. Help us, Lord, to submit to your will, and help us, Lord, to be like Jesus. Finally, Lord, we ask that we wouldn't be a people who desert you, but rather in repentance and humbleness of heart, we come to you just asking that you would allow us to see you at work today. And we thank you and we praise you. And we pray all of this in your strong name. Amen.